July 1940. The Germans now occupy all of the Channel Islands, including Armorel, my home.
Here is the midnight news. The Ministry of Food stated today that the loss of supplies from the Channel Islands will not be serious. The foodstuffs principally affected are potatoes and tomatoes.
But apart from potatoes and tomatoes, there are also cows, including Venus de la Bay. I am Nicola Falaise, sister of the suzerain of Armorel. And Venus...
Venus de la Bay is a pedigree Guernsey cow, currently in calf. She and her babe-to-be are very valuable, so I was sent to German-occupied Armorel to rescue her.
We present Appointment with Venus by Gerard Tickell, dramatized for radio in four parts by Michael Bartlett, with Karen Archer and David Collings as Nicola and Lionel, Michael Cochran as Valentine, and Frederick Yeager as Captain Weiss. Part 4, The Evacuation of Venus.
I am Major Valentine Morland, and my companions in this bovine kidnapping were Alec Forbes from the Gordon Highlanders and Nicola Falaise herself, who persuaded me, against my better judgment, that her presence was essential.
We had landed on Armorel, and I had persuaded my cousin Lionel, a pacifist and a painter who had stayed on the island, to help us camouflage another cow to fool the Germans while we spirited the real Venus away to the beach. Unfortunately, the German commandant, Captain Weiss, was himself a farmer and loved Venus dearly.
Miller?
You wanted me, sir?
Yes, Miller. I've had orders from Guernsey that the cow Venus is to be taken there tonight and then flown to Germany.
So soon?
Yes. Please instruct the cowman to take her to the harbour at 5:30.
I understand, sir.
I had hoped to keep her here until she calved. Still, what can one do? Propaganda is greater than progeny.
Perhaps you won't miss her so much, sir. Apparently there is another Venus on the island.
Another Venus? What do you mean?
This is not a cow, but a lady, a most... beautiful lady. Young, strange, and beautiful.
Really? Who is she?
That I have tried to find out, but nobody knows. Every man in the working party saw her this morning.
Why was I not informed of this?
I told the medical officer at lunchtime, but you were not there. I was going to... My God.
Well, what is it?
Sir, there is another thing. I wonder if...
If what? Well, speak up.
This morning, some of our soldiers were drinking coffee in the Estaminet des Anges when the old man Jean came in. He was very drunk and he shouted at them that the war was over and that he had seen the sister of the suzerain. Could it be possible?
And I am told nothing of these happenings. Why not?
Sir, the soldiers paid little attention. The old man was very drunk and they thought he was raving.
Where is he now, this drunken man?
I don't know. The provost of Armorel came and took him away.
He is to be found and brought to me, drunk or sober. Sergeant Fogel!
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Fogel, you will go at once to the Estaminet des Anges and seek the man Jean and bring him to me no matter what his condition may be.
Yes, sir.
You, Miller, you will instruct the NCO of the working party to report to me. I also wish to interview the provost of Armorel after I've seen the NCO. You understand?
I understand, sir. Sir. Do you think that...
I think that you are a fool and that you may suffer harshly for your idiocy. Now go to your duty.
In June 1939, I had given my brother Luke a photograph of myself in a plain silver frame. It stood on the dressing table in his bedroom at the Abbaye. Captain Weiss would not have needed to search very hard to find it, and although I was dressed in the photograph in all my finery, the soldiers from the working party would have been bound to recognize me.
You sent for me, Monsieur le Commandant?
Yes, I did. Sit down. There are two matters concerning which I require a full and immediate explanation. A stranger, a young lady, was seen at Armorel this morning. Who is this lady?
Monsieur le Commandant must be mistaken.
That is all you have to say?
That is all.
Look at this photograph. Is this, or is it not, Miss Nicolas Falaise, sister of the absent suzerain?
It is Miss Nicolas, monsieur.
And it is also the lady who walks the roads of Amorel. She was seen and recognized by Jean, who blurted out the news, poor drunken fool. That is why he was led away by you and brutally attacked. If he should die, you and those associated with you will be charged with murder and executed.
But, monsieur...
I ask you again, monsieur le provost, where is Miss Nicolas Falaise?
At that precise moment, Miss Nicolas Falaise was only a few yards away. I was leading a slightly fretful Venus along the top road in full view of the windows of the Abbaye. Dangerous, but I had no choice.
I am waiting, monsieur le provost.
I cannot answer your questions, monsieur.
Listen to me. The island is ringed with sentries. She has no chance of getting away. Now will you speak?
I have nothing to say.
What?
Je n'ai rien à dire.
Very well. You are under arrest. You are forbidden to leave the Abbey.
That evening at 5:30, Baptiste, the cowman, collected the painted cow from the meadow outside the Abbaye and led her away down the road towards the harbour.
It is ironic that everything would have gone smoothly had it not been that Captain Weiss genuinely loved Venus and decided to see her safely on board ship.
Heaven only knows what Hyacinth thought about having her coat covered in paint, but there was no doubt that she deeply disapproved of being coaxed along a tiny gangplank, especially as the breeze was causing the boat to rock uneasily.
Is it safe?
All right.
Come. Come on, my
people.
Stay by her head.
Oh,
I will come.
It is all right, monsieur. Tout va bien. Please do not come. Je vous en prie.
It's all right. I have a cow. All right, Venus. My leap ship. Bring her head more to the right.
Oui, monsieur.
That's excellent. There you are, girl. But she's sticky. What's wrong with her?
Oh, there is nothing wrong with her.
Wait. It's... Guards! Take this animal ashore.
But, monsieur, if you...
I say! So, the island of Amorel stages a pantomime, does it?
But, monsieur...
That painted creature is not Venus.
She's not Venus.
The scene in Lionel's studio was as surreal as his paintings. The curtains were tightly drawn, and the only light we dared risk was that of a candle. Its soft light showed Lionel, myself, his half-finished picture on its easel, and Venus, her head rope looped around the leg of the piano, her bulging body between the bookcase and the writing desk.
What's this chap like, Nicky? The one you call Valentine?
He's a nice person. He's gentle, and he gives one a great sense of security.
Hmm. Is he in love with you?
I don't know. I think he may think he is.
Oh. And you, my darling, what about you?
I don't know if you'll understand this, but in the last year, since I left Armorel, I have been taken to parties and to dine and things by lots of men. People I've liked.
Oh.
Valentine's one of them. But there always comes a moment when I look at them and suddenly I know that they're not you. It's a great shock to a girl because one moment they're fun to be with and the next, well, they simply don't exist. That's what you've done to me, Lionel. That's what you'll always do to me.
Oh, Nicky.
But you mustn't think for one instant that I don't like Valentine, because I do, and if you weren't here, I could like him a lot more.
Nicky, I don't know what's going to happen. We're all in danger. But all I want now is to take you in my arms and kiss you.
Well, here I am.
Oh, Nicky.
Listen.
Miss Nicola.
It's George.
What? How did he...
Miss Nicola, I knew you would have brought Venus here, but there is danger now. Great danger.
Oh, why? What's happened?
The Germans are searching every house on the island for you and for Venus. Miss Nicola, you must go.
But George, what will you do?
Sergeant Vogel is in charge of the search party. I will tell him I've seen you by the Baie de Landine, and he will go there to search. At the top of the path to the Point de Joie, there is an old shed.
Yes.
There you'll be quite safe, and there I will come to you. But you must go now.
Yes, we will. Now, on your way, George. I'll bring Venus. You'd better slip ahead, Nicky, and tell your boyfriends that we're on the way. I don't want them thinking I'm Sergeant Vogel and taking appropriate action.
That's all right.
If anything happens, hoot like an owl.
I don't know how to hoot like an owl.
Then they should have taught you that before you left London. Hooting like an owl is de rigueur on this kind of expedition. Now, we'd better get moving. But first...
Yes?
I want to tell you that I love you very much. That's all.
I left him with Venus, who was breathing heavily and clearly in some distress. As I reached the corner of the road, Valentine emerged from the bushes.
Thank God you're here.
Surely you didn't think I'd lost my way.
I took her hands in mine and felt them quiver. Her face was white in the gloom. She let me hold her for a moment and then gently freed her hands.
Is Alec all right?
Here I am, Miss Nicholl.
Oh.
I'm fine.
Look, I'm worried. Lionel is bringing Venus, but she doesn't seem too good. And the Germans know that something's up. All the houses on the island are being searched. They know I'm here. They've got extra guards on the cliff.
Oh, well, Alec and I can deal with the sentries, and they can search the houses till they're blue in the face because we're all out of doors.
Well, here we are.
Oh, this is my cousin, Lionel, who paints pictures and cows. This is Valentine Morland, and the desperado with the revolver is Alec Forbes.
Hello, Lionel.
How's Venus?
Well, the lady has her health, but only just. I rather think we're going to be confronted with another problem. Or should I say an extra passenger? At any moment.
Let me see.
I don't think there's much doubt.
No. Is there any shelter near?
Yes, there's a shed in about 100 yards.
We'd better get out there at once.
Alec, what are you saying?
Mr. Valentine, we can go no further. Venus is about to have her calf.
There was nothing to be done, but I was very conscious of the minutes steadily ticking away. I wished passionately that Alec and I had come alone.
If anyone could let me have a match, I've brought a candle.
Here you are.
Well, here we are. Not exactly the most elegant of maternity hospitals, is it, Morland?
In the flickering light of the candle, I looked at Lionel for the first time. Nicola's cousin, the man about whom she had spoken with reluctance. A reluctance which I suddenly realized I had misunderstood.
Well, I suppose all we can do in circumstances like this is give Venus a bit of a hand, isn't it?
This was the boy with whom she spent her childhood, now grown into a man. This was the painter and the pacifist. Superficially, they were not alike, because she was fair and he was dark. But there was a likeness, an indefinable twinship about them that saddened me. For a moment, I felt like an intruder.
George, I did what I said I would do, Miss Nicola. I've sent Sergeant Vogel to the Bedelandino. Oh, he's such a fool. Is this your friend, Mr. Valentine?
Yes, George. His name's Alec.
Bonsoir, Monsieur Alec. Je m'appelle George.
I'm afraid I can't speak French, George, but I'm very happy to make your acquaintance.
And me too. Good evening, Mr. Lionel. Hello,
George.
Are you coming to England with us to fight the Germans?
No. He is not going to England.
Vogel.
None of you is going to England. Get your backs to the wall and put your hands up or I shoot.
Stunning, startling, and final. We had no choice but to obey. Young Georges was not quite as clever as he thought.
So, I find everything at once. A missing cow, a missing artist, and Miss Nicola Falaise. Also a little boy who thought he was very clever. And two strange gentlemen.
I told you to hoot like an owl, Nicky.
Silence! One by one, you will throw your guns on the floor. The clever little boy who led me to you can keep his tin pistol.
Well, what happens now?
You are hoping I will march you to German headquarters so you can escape in the dark. No. Here we wait until the guard is changed and then the soldiers will come looking for me.
May Miss Falaise and Georges put their hands down?
No.
I understand. Interesting to see that an armed NCO in the German army is afraid of an unarmed woman and of a little boy with a toy pistol.
The woman and the boy may lower their hands. You and you will keep them up. Nobody is to move. If any of you moves, I shoot.
I wonder if you'll get promotion for this, Vogel. I confess to a certain difficulty in visualizing you as an officer.
Silence! We wait.
Glancing upwards at the watch on my wrist, I tried to calculate how long it would be before the charges I had set on the beach exploded.
Venus!
Stay where you are. What is the matter with the calf?
Her calf is arriving. It's all right, Venus.
I said to you, get back to the wall.
But she needs help.
Get back!
I will not get back. I am going to see to Venus.
But...
it's all right, Venus. I'm here. Shh, you're among friends.
As Nicola knelt beside the cow, my mind was racing. I wondered what Captain Weiss was doing at that moment.
It's nearly 10 o'clock. No news yet of the search party?
No news yet, Captain.
You know, Miller, I believe that Miss Nicola Falaise was sent here for that purpose. Therefore, the British will have made a plan to take her off.
So that means a boat.
Yes, indeed it does, and a small boat at that. Now, what I want, Miller, is to capture that British boat, not to sink it. That is why the sentries on the cliffs have orders not to fire, but to let the British come in. It's when they try to put to sea that we will have them.
They will not send anything as fast as the Lübeck. And anyway, they do not know she is in Amarelle.
Exactly, my friend, which is why her commander is ready to put to sea at a moment's notice. So all we can do, Milan...
Good God!
Guard! Guard! Turn off the guard!
Before the explosion, the scene in the shed was unforgettable. Nicola was kneeling on the floor, completely absorbed in her task. The light of the candle showed the face of Sergeant Fogel, ever watchful, yet even he showing the merest trace of tenderness as he watched. And then, the task was done.
Now she can look after herself. Back against the wall, please.
I knew I was tired, and yet I couldn't feel it. The living calf had been safely delivered.
To Venus, a son.
I looked at the calf, a wet bundle lying on the ground. Venus turned beside me and began licking the little body eagerly, lovingly. Our task was done. One other, perhaps the last one of all, remained. I looked across at Lionel, trying with all my strength to transmit an unspoken message to the man I loved and knew so well.
I saw Nicola brush her hair from her eyes and smile at Lionel. He smiled back, and I could sense the bond between them. Then Nicola gathered the newborn calf in her arms, stood up, and turned to face Sergeant Fogel.
Put the calf on the ground.
What?
I order you to put the calf on the ground.
See how tiny and frail he is, Sergeant Fogel.
Get back. Put that calf down.
But I want to show it to you, Sergeant Fogel. It's a bull calf. The bull that my brother wanted Venus to bear. Venus's son is in my arms and alive.
Put the calf down and go to the wall. If you do not do so, I will shoot.
But you wouldn't shoot a little bull calf, would you, Sergeant? You only shoot women and children, not calves. Not this one, anyway. This is the one they want in Berlin, and I really don't...
Gott in Himmel!
Lionel was ready. Lionel had heard my unspoken message. Lionel had understood.
Ooh, bruise my knuckles.
Well, for a pacifist, you possess a quite remarkable abacat.
Yes. I'm afraid my instincts rather overcame my principles. And worse than that, I confess I rather enjoyed it. I've owed Vogel that wallop for some time.
How's the patient, Eric?
I think his jaw's broken, Mr. Valentine. Ooh.
Better time up. Now, George.
Monsieur?
Now, there's a sentry on the Pont de Joie. Do you think you can dodge him?
Me? Of course I can. I know him. He's a nice man. His name is Johann.
You do have odd friends. Now then, run like blazes to the Pont de Joie. You'll find a British ship lying off the shore and a man with a big black beard on the beach.
Yes.
Now then, tell him we're coming, all of us.
Yes, monsieur.
Alec, have you got the telephone wire?
I have.
Good. Well, off you go, George.
Where are you going?
We're coming close behind.
Right, monsieur.
Alec, how soon will Venus be able to walk?
No, if we take it easily.
If I carry the calf, she'll follow.
But isn't it heavy?
No, of course not. I can manage.
Alec, you can look after Fogel. If he shouts or tries to make a break, shoot him.
I will. Venus ought to be milked out at once, but we'll have to do that when we get her aboard. Come on, Fogel. Oh. On your feet.
And so our strange little cavalcade set off, while I secretly prayed that Georges would get to the beach in time, and the trawler Langley, in spite of the orders I had given him, would still be there. As we made our way through the darkness towards the cliffs, Lionel dropped back and motioned me to do the same.
Morland.
Yes?
You know the provost's been arrested.
Yes, I know. But they can't pin anything on him.
Oh, can't they? And Baptiste was spotted when he tried to palm off the painted hyacinth as Venus, so he's in trouble too. Quite a lot of people on this island will be in trouble when you've gone.
When we've gone.
I'm not coming with you, Morland.
I see. But tell me one thing.
What?
I only know you as Lionel. What's your other name?
My name is Lionel Falaise.
Ah.
You see how it is?
Yes. Yes, I see how it is.
The Pointe de Joie. And trawler waiting for us on the beach. He never did obey orders unless they suited him. Behind him, a raft with a well-padded horsebox on it bobbed gently at the water's edge.
Give that calf to me, Miss Nicola.
It's all right, trawler. I can manage. I want to.
Mind how you go, Miss Nicola. Here, I'll hold the raft steady for you.
Oh, thanks, Alec.
Now, if you go, Venus should follow.
At first, Venus was very suspicious. But then the calf made a sort of whimpering noise, and Venus lumbered forward and entered the horsebox. It was a tremendous moment. Nicola laid the calf on the straw, and Venus bent over her son, licking him with a rasping, loving tongue.
All right, Miss Nicola.
All right, Trawler.
All right. Take it easy.
As the steel cable tightened and the raft began to move towards the motor torpedo boat, it happened. A brilliant white shaft of light sliced the darkness and moved across the rising waves until it reached our vessel.
In its beam, we saw a fantastic sight. The derrick on the MTV swung out, the horsebox was clipped on, and the whole thing was lifted high into the air.
I clambered on the deck of the MTB. Behind me came Trawler, wading through the water with Georges on his shoulders. Behind him, Sergeant Fogel, prodded forward by Alec's gun in his back. And still, the Germans didn't shoot.
Permission to fire, Captain Weiss.
No, wait. The Lübeck will be here at any minute, and there is no escape for them.
They seem to have a prisoner.
Indeed they do. That is our good Sergeant Fogel.
It was time to go. I waded out through the waves, and Trawler pulled me up on deck.
All aboard!
Valentine, wait! Where's Lionel?
He's not coming.
All aboard, skipper!
Aye, aye, sir!
But he is coming. I'm not going without him. Lionel, wait for me! I'm coming ashore!
There seems to be some sort of struggle, Captain.
Give one machine gun burst astern of the vessel.
Yes, sir.
One more burst. Here comes the Lübeck. Thank God for that. We've got them.
And for those of us on board the MTB, it looked as though Captain Weiss was right. Our boat tore along the line of rocks, but the German gunboat was on our starboard quarter and overtaking us fast. In about 30 seconds, she'd have us. And then... then I heard them. Three hurricanes in line ahead dived out of the racing clouds and swept the decks of the gunboat with bombs. Uncle George and the RAF had kept their appointment.
Stand by, everybody!
Trawler was magnificent. He stood at the wheel of the MTB like some ancient pirate. And as the bombs hit the German gunboat, Trawler swung our boat hard to port and drove like an arrow for the suicidal channel of the Couloir du Diable.
Hold your hands hard! We are going through!
The wind and spray drove the breath from our bodies.
Here we go!
the open sea, the white ensign blowing above me, and a terrible sense of loneliness.
A loneliness that I shared as I stood in my cottage on Armorel the following morning. Good morning, Vice.
Are you aware, Mr. Falaise, that the gunboat Lübeck has been sunk by bombing from the British Air Force? 7 German sailors and 2 officers have been picked dead from the sea.
I'm sorry. I would like you to believe that I am sorry.
Ah, so this is where Venus was hidden.
Yes. This is where we took her, my cousin Nicola and I. Nobody else had anything to do with it, Vice. Not the provost, nor Baptiste, nor Jean, nor anyone on the island.
You wish me to believe that you alone are responsible?
On Armorel, I alone am responsible. Mm.
I have only one more thing to ask you, Mr. Falaise. Why did you not go with your friends?
I looked through my window at the sun on the fields. Somewhere, far beyond the cliffs of Armorel, Nicky was safe at sea, heading for England, and Venus was suckling her calf.
I asked you a question.
How could I go? Someone had to be here to tell you the truth about what happened. The whole island would have been made to suffer.
I will be court-martialed, you know.
I thought you might be. I'm sorry.
It is a fine morning, is it not?
It is a beautiful morning.
Keep looking out of the window, Mr. Falaise.
In my mind, I could see the turn of the road, the gates of the Abbey of Armorel, and beyond them, the bell, hanging motionless in the tower where Nicky and I used to climb.
God forgive me, my friend. But better this way than to die at the hands of the Gestapo.
Montez à la maison éternelle.
Venez. Montez.
Nicola.
It's all over. It's finished.
But it isn't, of course. Nothing ever is. We did what we set out to do. Venus and her calf are alive and well and living in England. And who can say if the price we paid was too high?
In the final part of Appointment with Venus by Gerard Tickell, dramatized for radio by Michael Bartlett, Karen Archer was Nicola Falaise, David Collings, Lionel, Michael Cochran, Major Valentine Morland, and Frederick Yeager, Captain Vice. Hugh Dixon was the Provost, Stephen Rashbrook, Alec Forbes, Michael Tudor Barnes, Sergeant Fogel, Susan Sheridan, George, and Geoffrey Matthews, Trawler Langley. Paul Gregory was Müller, Michael Deacon, Baptiste, and John Sampson, the German sentry. Venus was played by Percy Edwards, and other parts were played by members of the cast. Technical direction was by Chris Lewis, assisted by Nick Herron and Dave Howe. The production assistant was Nikki Hildebrandt. This was a BBC World Service drama production, directed by David Hitchinson.